Before we begin our next hour, I just want everyone to see this. This is Damian Woody right before we came on the air today, sweeping up in his home while wearing pajama bottoms. Can we make that? We got to see him. D Wood, I'm glad to see you're taking care of this. Look at this. What do you think?
You know you got to take the dustpan off at some point, right? You know how to use a broom and dustpan?
I did that, Nate.
Yeah, what's going on?
I did. Why are you trying to hate on me?
But what were you actually doing? Why is the dustpan still stuck to the broomstick like that?
It's a two-step process, Greeny. I mean, I swept and then I got it up off with the dustpan. I mean, why am I getting so much flack right now?
Man, are you still pandemic wearing the pajama got you doing pants? New jobs.
You still wearing the pajama pants? Let's crank up a new hour here. We welcome you back to our studio and to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. A little silly, but a lot of football to get to this morning. Time to get up with Houston. We have a coach, which leads to an even bigger question, the biggest of the year. What will this mean for Deshaun Watson's future? Shefty is here to answer that. And this, amid all the Aaron Rodgers conversation, when will we be able to solve the beautiful mystery of his future? And then, Buccaneer Bruce makes a strong statement about his plans after the Super Bowl, win, lose, or draw. All that and more as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now. With the big news from Houston, the Texans have hired Ravens assistant David Culley to be their next head coach. It was not one of the names that we had heard bandied about the most. The question is, what will he be able to do to try and convince Deshaun Watson to stay? Culley has spent the last two seasons with the Ravens, where he also served as Baltimore's passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach. He's never been an offensive coordinator at the NFL level. He has 27 seasons of NFL experience as a coach. This will be his first head coaching opportunity. And I bring the guys back in here. We're having a brief technical difficulty with Adam Schefter, so we'll get him back in a moment. And obviously, it's Schefter we want to hear from as far as the impact this may have on Deshaun Watson. But, Neek, from what we have heard, the idea that Deshaun's concerns with the organization go well beyond who the coach is, well beyond who the general manager is, do you expect this hiring to have any impact on Deshaun Watson's future?
Absolutely not. I understand that Deshaun Watson has a relationship with David Culley from being at the Pro Bowl, and he likes and respects him, but his issue isn't with David Culley. His issue is with the organization as a whole and with Cal McNair, the owner who inherited the team. And so I don't think that David Culley can come and convince Deshaun Watson that somehow all that stuff is going to change and somehow that his career is in good hands now that he's there. So I think it's going to be much of the same. And David Culley, I think, is fortunate to have this opportunity and is looking forward to turn this team around. But I don't see it being with Deshaun Watson.
What do you think of this, D Wood? It feels like there are a few different ways this can go. That is a team that right now doesn't have a first or second round pick. They traded those to Miami for Laremy Tunsil. They obviously would get back more than that if they were to trade Deshaun Watson for whatever that is worth. Obviously, you're trading a superstar quarterback. That's never going to get, you're never going to get a good deal for that in the big picture. Do you expect them to try as hard as they can to keep Deshaun Watson and thus not trade him early in this cycle?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, 25-year-old superstar quarterbacks don't grow on trees. That's the one. That's the one only appealing asset that the Houston Texans have. I mean, like Adam Schefter said in the last hour, that might have been, you know, the Houston Texans job's probably the most undesirable job in the National Football League for a bevy of reasons. No draft capital, you know, the situation with the quarterback and ownership. So they would be stupid not to try move heaven and earth to try to make this thing happen. But like Dominic said, What reason would Deshaun Watson have a change in his mind right now?
Well, so, Neek, but there's another way that can go, which is to say if Deshaun Watson is your quarterback, it becomes a very desirable job solely because he's there. And the reality is you can call a player's bluff. Deshaun Watson doesn't have the option of going to another team on his own. Basically, he can try to force their hand, but they don't have to allow it to be forced.
Right, but what is the actual issue there? Have you heard anybody disagree with Deshaun Watson saying that the organization is poorly run? Everyone who knows anything about this organization signs with Deshaun Watson. So put Deshaun Watson aside. Maybe you can talk him into staying. You still have a clergyman making the roster decisions, and you still have an organization that most people believe is not well run. So I throw the question back to you, Greeny. I know you ask us the questions. What is the sales pitch to get Deshaun Watson? Like, David Culley was the pass game coordinator coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. The one thing the Ravens don't do well is pass the ball. I'm not quite sure what the sales pitch is. I can't come up with one that would convince Deshaun Watson to come back, especially since he's already got the big contract.
Well, I can. He doesn't have... The big contract only applies if he doesn't retire, which at some point would become his only real option if they just refuse to trade him. I'm old enough to remember when Carson Palmer wanted out of Cincinnati so badly that he retired and was out of the sport for a while until the Bengals got what they wanted in return for him with the Raiders. That's all I'm saying. Yes, so he wants out.
No, I don't.
And yes, I fully understand why.
That's not a sales pitch. That's a hostage negotiation. You're not going to win any football if your quarterback feels like he's a hostage. If he shows up to the facility every day in a bad mood, that permeates the culture of your team. That's not going to work for anybody, the quarterback, the owner, the coach, nobody. Like, I almost think they're better off moving on from a superstar, an angry superstar quarterback, than keeping one who doesn't want to be there. So they have to sell him. Like, you don't want him there upset and angry and disgruntled. They have to convince him that this is going to work out, that he can turn things around, that David Culley is going to cure everything that ails this organization, and I don't think you can do that.
I don't either, but what I'm saying is that you just don't trade him and you continue to try and make the situation the best that you can. I'm not telling you that's what I would do. I'm telling you
right. That's
the way it goes if you decide you don't want to trade him, because candidly, trading a 25-year-old superstar quarterback as good as he is, who does everything he does off the field, is lunacy. And
right.
You never, it's the kind of move you never get
the crazy,
over.
No. The crazy part, the lunacy is not with trading him. The lunacy is letting it get to this point. That's
right.
The dumb stuff. They did all the dumb stuff the years coming up to now. Right now, trading him isn't dumb. It was dumb to push him to the point where you had to trade him. So it's too late. You already blew it. Like, you blew it a while ago. You can't do nothing about it now. You need to move on.
D-Wood, final
Greeny,
word.
Greeny, let me say this. Think about this. You got J.J. Watt coming up to Deshaun Watson saying, apologizing.
Yeah.
Literally apologizing for how the rest of the team didn't play well around him.
Jesus.
You got Andre Johnson, who doesn't really speak at all and just goes in on the organization. What more do you need to hear?
No, I don't need to hear anymore. I, if it sounds like I'm trying to defend the organization, then I'm not saying what I mean to say. What I'm saying is, the option the Texans have, if they don't want to trade him, is to not trade him and let him go as nuclear as he wants to go and see what happens. I'm not telling you that's what I think will happen, but it is one of the options from as we go forward from here. We'll see. One way or another, welcome to Houston, David Culley. This is what you're inheriting. Meanwhile, let's go on the clock with a couple of other topics here. And D. Wood, I'm starting with you. Eric Bieniemy, I know, is very much on your mind right now. The offensive, and I see we have Shefty back here, so we will go to him in a moment. But Eric Bieniemy is the first topic. D. Wood, 30 seconds. Eric Bieniemy, not going to get a job this cycle. What are your thoughts?
Greeny, this is just a damn shame. And this is all, Eric Bieniemy has presided over, you know, the best offense that we've seen, honestly, probably like a couple of decades. That's the type of efficiency that he's been presiding over in that Kansas City Chiefs offense. And think about this, Greeny. Okay, Adam Gase has been a head coach in two different spots based off a year with Peyton Manning. He got two bites of the apple with one season with Peyton Manning. That's just ridiculous.
Well, you're going to get no argument on me on that one. All right, Neek, you're next up here. 30 seconds. Is Dak Prescott going to be the quarterback of the Cowboys next year? Go.
I think he probably will be the quarterback of the Cowboys. I'm not sure that he wants to be or that he should want to be, but I think he will be because they can't find a better option. And it would be absurd to just let him walk and not franchise tag him, or at least try to move to trade him. And I also think that Dak Prescott has shown us no signs that he is willing to make things really ugly and uncomfortable in the way that Deshaun Watson has made things. Dak Prescott has always kind of towed the line in that organization. So I can't see him forcing his way out, and I can't see the Cowboys being foolish enough to trade him.
All right, we'll see what winds up happening there. Meanwhile, Shefty, we've saved the best for last. I want you to listen to this soundbite from Scotty Miller talking about racing Tyreek Hill.
I'm taking me every day of the week. I'll take me over anybody. Tyreek is unbelievable, super quick. Unbelievable talent. But if we're talking about race, I mean, I got all the confidence in myself against going up against anybody.
All right, so that was from the Dan Patrick Show. Now, Shefty, I mean, I'm negotiating this race for you with Tyreek Hill. Yeah. You're supposed to be racing Tyreek Hill. He was on this show talking about it. Do you feel like Scotty Miller is sort of one-upping your opportunity here?
No, I don't have all the confidence in the world in facing anybody. I'm just the opposite of Scotty Miller there, Green. So I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. I'm going to go up with Tyreek Hill. We're going to do this for a great charity, and I don't have all the confidence in the world in racing anybody, including you, Greeny. Although I'm going to put my best foot forward, and we're going to race for charity, and we're going to raise a lot of money, okay? And if Scotty Miller wants to join the party and Tyreek Hill wants to enter the fray as well, more the merrier. But this is something that's really between Tyreek Hill and I, and we will settle this post-COVID, post-Super Bowl, me and the cheetah. I always wanted to go up against a cheetah and see how embarrassing it looks. Again, we're just trying to figure out where I'm starting from. What is it, the 40 or 50-yard line?
We'll be negotiating it. I'm representing you in these negotiations. Nick, who wins that race, though? I've been taking Shefty out of it for the moment. Tyreek Hill or Scotty Miller? Who wins the race?
I mean, it's Tyreek Hill. Obviously, like, we got 40 times to match up. Tyreek ran a 4.29. I think Scotty Miller barely got under the 4.4 into the 4.39, if I'm right. Yeah, I think Hembo's got the numbers right there, so... It's easy. And when you watch them play, Tyreek Hill looks faster than Scotty Miller. And Scotty Miller looks so fast. LaScotty is my man, but he's no Tyreek Hill.
All right, I'll leave it there for the minute. We'll come back. Shefty's got so much insight to share. We have him back for the rest of the show. Tom Brady is signed for one more year in Tampa, but could his partnership with Bruce Arians go a lot longer than that? Shefty has insight into this story coming up. And Aaron Rodgers lighting the fuse, then trying to douse the flames. Is leaving Green Bay still possible? The quarterback carousel spins, and we're talking about it here. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and that man is Bruce Arians, the coach of the Buccaneers. He's 68 years old and will be appearing in his first Super Bowl as a head coach next Sunday. But Arians has no intention of calling it quits, win, lose, or draw. Here's what he said.
Hell no. I'm going for two. If the Glazers will have me back, I'll be back.
If the Glazers will have me back, the Glazer family owns the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, Adam Schefter, should we be expecting this combination of Tom Brady and Bruce Arians to go forward sort of indefinitely here and maybe start building something that lasts for a while in Tampa?
Well, Greeny, Tom Brady signed a 2-year contract, and when he signed that contract, it was fully guaranteed, and he intended to stay for 2 years in Tampa. Bruce Arians is on a 5-year contract. He's completing the second year of that deal, and he told a Tampa radio station this week that he has no intention of not coming back if the Glazer family will have him. And so all indications are that Bruce Arians and Tom Brady will run it back again in Tampa next season together, and for all the silly speculation on their relationship that existed through the first part of this season, it was way overdone. They've gotten along. I think they really enjoy being around each other. They're different in their approaches. They're different in their philosophies. And I think Bruce Arians has been smart enough to adjust and adapt to what Tom needs to do out on the football field to the point where this team is playing its best football of the season. And this combination looks like it will be together again next season.
I think that's right. I think, Dominique, when we talked about the relationship between the two, obviously we don't have any insight into the personal relationship. It did look for a while like the offensive philosophy of the two men did not fit particularly well together. How have you seen that change, adapt, grow, as they have now, as Shefty says, all of a sudden become such a good offense?
Well, I mean, I think that they always trusted Tom Brady, and that's a thing that you have. It's hard when you're building a team and you're growing a team to get everybody to believe in the plan, especially when you have a quarterback that people aren't sure about. But everybody's sure about Tom Brady, so I think that gives you a little leeway for Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians and Tom Brady to tinker with and change things. And it also gives you the goodwill to have bad games, to have awful performances, and the team still shows up the following Monday with confidence and still feeling good. And I think that's, more than anything, that's the impact that Tom Brady had that carried them through this playoff run, even more than his play on the field. It's just the psychological impact of having a guy like Tom Brady, what that does to your team, both offensively and defensively.
Well, let's also point out that while they do still throw the ball down the field, the whole no risk it, no biscuit thing, D-Wood, I mean, first down after first down this past Sunday, they are running the ball right into the line. They're running it with Fournette. They're running it with Ronald Jones. So that is a little bit of a departure from what we had seen them doing early in the season.
Well, absolutely. That's a team that's taken advantage of all its pieces, and we've seen that Tampa Bay, particularly their offensive line, they've actually played really well protecting Tom Brady, and towards the latter part of the season, opened up holes in their running game. So now we talked ad nauseum about all the weapons they have on the outside, but now when you complement that with the running game with Fournette and Ronald Jones, boy, that gives you a lot of options, and I'm sure Tom Brady feels good about that.
Yeah, so for all the conversation, Dominique, we were talking about, will there be any pre-snap motion? Will they do any of the play action and all that kind of stuff? It has changed. I mean, we weren't wrong. Changed. We were seeing but what we were seeing, and they've changed it.
I actually think the worst part of their offense is the amount of first down running that they do. Like, I think they'd be a more productive offense if they threw the ball early. Because if you watch the game last week, they ended up in a bunch of, like, really high variance third down situations, and Tom Brady threw a bunch of second half interceptions because of it. So mixing the run game in is fine, but when you got Tom Brady, you got all those receivers first down, people are loading the box, expect you to run. That's when they should be taking those shots, but it's still a wonder that they are where they are considering the ups and downs that they had, and that's a testament to Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, and obviously Todd Bowles, and that defense came up big in the last two rounds of the playoffs.
The reality is the defense is the reason they're here with what they did against Green Bay in the red zone this past weekend and the way they got after the quarterback. All right, as you can see, Shefty is working the phones like crazy today as the quarterback carousel spins and so much news is out there. He doesn't even hear me. Coming up, the NFL heading towards an unprecedented offseason of quarterback chaos. Is it good for the league? Is it a future trend? Those discussions and Shefty's news as we continue. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Dominique, this is by far my new favorite play of the NBA season so far. Just watch the magician that is Steph Curry. Just look at this. Just look. Come on.
I mean, that's... I understand why you're impressed, but it doesn't impress me much because that's what I look like when I hoop. Step back.
Come on.
Cash. Yeah, that's all me. I can do that.
The handles, he's dancing. The man is actually dancing with the basketball in an NBA game.
It is outstanding. Now, Steph Curry is having a ball this
Beautiful
year.
Beautiful to watch. All right, as we continue, Aaron Rodgers. He lit the fuse. Now he's trying to douse the flames. But is he leaving Green Bay? You've got answers. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and the quarterback carousel is spinning in unprecedented fashion. And one of the big names on it, of course, is Aaron Rodgers, whose future remains, as he said, a beautiful mystery. Tuesday, he was on with Pat McAfee, addressing all the speculation that he may want out of Green Bay. Here's what he said.
I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. To make an absolute statement about something is not an absolute. I didn't do it. Naturally, there's times where you let your mind go to maybe, well, I'm going to be a Packer for life. When they drafted Jordan, it was more just like the reality kicking in going, hey, that's actually never the case. I get it. Some people are like, well, you just threw 48 touchdowns and probably going to win MVP. Yeah, I understand that. But again, there's no absolutes in this business.
So that was what he said. And so we had a lengthy debate about this earlier, which I'm going to get back to. But Shefty, let me come to you first for the information here. What do we know right now as far as Aaron Rodgers and what his future looks like?
Listen, Rob Demosky, the Packers reporter for ESPN.com, said this week that Rodgers was staying in Green Bay a little extra time to meet with various Packers higher-up officials. And I think that will all be a part of the conversation. And Aaron Rodgers himself said he expects to be in Green Bay, but there are no absolutes. And I think sometimes after a loss like that, you get very emotional and you want to take a step back. I think it doesn't change the fact that there's some strain in this relationship between certain people. I think Aaron Rodgers and the coaching staff get along great. I don't think there's a single issue there. I think there's a tremendous, healthy, mutual respect between those two sides. But clearly, the Packers felt the need to, as you pointed out, Greeny, not only draft a quarterback in the first round last spring, but to trade up to draft a quarterback in the first round last spring. And that sent a certain message to Aaron Rodgers that I think has stayed with him to this day. So, again, those meetings are going on this week. He's meeting with all those people if he hasn't already done it. And I think once you have those meetings, you step back, you process, you think what you want to do. And again, the sense is that he wants to be back in Green Bay. But again, I think Aaron Rodgers yields a lot of control and power over this situation, depending on how much stomach he has to essentially turn things messy if that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, let's see if he hears things that he wants to hear from the organization this week. As soon as that happens, I'm sure Adam Schefter will be the first person who knows it. Meanwhile, I always keep my promises. So D. Wood and Neek, I promised you I would get you back to this because you were yelling at each other over this subject and I had to go to a break. It wasn't my fault. So D. Wood, where we left off was you asking aloud an interesting question. When are the Packers supposed to draft a quarterback? That was where you were. That's where your head was, the idea that Rodgers is put off by that. What did you mean when you said that, D. Wood? What were the Packers, when are they supposed to draft a quarterback?
Well, I mean, what I was saying, and I used the example of Big Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, clearly anyone watching Big Ben has seen that he is nowhere near, he's a shell of himself as far as what we've seen for most of his career. And, you know, I was just playing devil's advocate in this particular situation, and when are you supposed to start planning for the future? I get that Aaron Rodgers is tremendous. I get that he's going to be the league MVP. But at what point?
I'm not going to let the steamroll me again. I can't have it.
Is the Green Bay Packers going to pick their quarterback? Do they need to go and ask for permission to go draft a quarterback?
I will tell you. I'll answer the question. You're just going to keep talking.
Picking a quarterback?
You're playing devil's advocate, and I'll play Aaron Rodgers. I don't care after I retire, after I win another Super Bowl. Like, I am in favor, as we'll talk about later in this segment, of player empowerment, especially when you have the power. So Aaron Rodgers is fine. Aaron Rodgers, up until this point, everything that was the best for the organization, it also coincided with what was best for Aaron Rodgers. But he just got reminded that the Packers are not Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers is not the Packers. And they're going to treat him just like every other quarterback gets treated at the end of his career. He recognizes that he has the power that Schefter pointed out to make sure that they give him the things he needs. So I'm in favor of player power. I'm not sure why you're not down with the players. I'm confused.
I didn't say I was. Hold on.
Why you
I wasn't
rooting
down
for the man.
I didn't say I wasn't down with the players. I'm just playing devil's advocate. And you're talking about not giving Aaron Rodgers. I mean, does Aaron Rodgers have the best offensive line in the league? I mean, he got three-headed monster in the backfield at the running back position. They've gone to back-to-back NFC championship games. So, I mean, what are we talking about here?
Let me frame the question this way, because I think this is what we've been tap dancing around. Can you try to win more than one championship at a time in pro football? Which is to say, can you try to win this one and then try to win the ones that are coming a long way from now? Because that's what they've tried to do in Green Bay. They had Brett Favre. They had a plan in place
not
for when it
Dominique.
Was time to move him out. And here they are. Well, you could argue it either way. They've had a first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterback for the last 30 years, and they have only two championships to show for it. So you could argue that, Dominique, in either direction you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't think that you can. Maybe it's possible, but I think it's much better to go all in when you have a quarterback like this, which they haven't done. And that's my problem, because it feels to me that Aaron Rodgers, they're picking this time in Aaron Rodgers' career to start thinking about the future when they should be going all in while his career is dwindling. And I mean, I know that it's hard to be critical of a team that went 13-3, but I give a lot of their 13-3, a lot of the credit for that goes to Aaron Rodgers. So you can talk about how talented everybody around him is, but they are made better because of him. And I think that it's unfair, frankly, for all that he's given that organization, for them to at this point to already start planning to bring somebody else in, because Aaron Rodgers isn't Brett Favre. Brett Favre was playing well, but Brett Favre was a little bit more of a wild card as far as his on-field production than Aaron Rodgers was.
Let me bring Sheffy
back
ask
you a question. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Okay, we all know that most of the time you got to pick your quarterback in the first round. Was Devontae Adams a first-round wide receiver? No, he wasn't a first-round wide receiver, but he's one of the best. You can make the case he's the best wide receiver in the National Football League. So explain. I need you to explain that to me, Dominique, that the Packers based on going all in. They're not going all in.
I can explain that they didn't go all in when they – okay, a first-round draft pick, you draft a backup quarterback. That's all in to you? Explain that to me, Damian.
Okay, let me get Chepty in on this, because the one thing I figured out today, I'm never going to be able to get in the middle of that argument all the time. But the one thing we can say with certainty, Chepty, and you've covered the league a long time, that historically – when teams draft the quarterback, the legendary quarterback's replacement, the legendary quarterback doesn't like it and doesn't stick around. Right? John Elway, you'll remember Tommy Maddox and Dan Reeves and all that stuff that happened in Denver, going all the way back to that and all the way through. When the new guy comes in, it is just a ticking clock until the old guy is on his way out.
But you bring up that example, which I remember very well, Greeny, and John Elway wanted the Broncos to draft a wide receiver from Tennessee named Carl Pickens. They took Tommy Maddox. But John Elway stayed and Tommy Maddox moved on. So it's not always the case.
But they fired the coach who made the decision, right? They wound up choosing Elway over Dan Reeves, who had enormous success there. Didn't they fire basically, they fired the guy who made the decision and they sided with Elway.
That's correct. And at one point in time, Dan Reeves almost had a deal in place to trade John Elway to the Washington football team. And the owner, Pat Bowlen, stepped in and blocked it from happening. So there are always issues when a team is drafting a quarterback like this. Aaron Rodgers didn't ask for that, didn't want it. And it's always a question also of value. If you draft a quarterback where the value comes in, Aaron Rodgers slid where he did at a time where most people thought he would be a top two or three selection, slid all the way to 24 when Green Bay took him. The Packers felt like, well, we can't pass up this opportunity. In this particular case, again, they traded up. They traded up for a guy that, again, I don't think was going to go in that part of the draft, and they traded up to go draft the guy that they viewed as a potential replacement for Aaron Rodgers. And again, so let's come back to this. So he meets with the people. He hears what they say. If he's good with it, that's great. Goes back to California, and he's back in Green Bay, no issues. But if there's any question in his mind, and he goes back to Los Angeles, and he processes things, and he's uncomfortable, that's where it potentially could get interesting. And people could say, Green Bay's the spot for him, wants to be there. Maybe so. But there are a lot of conversations that are taking place this week that will impact his thinking that we don't know the contents of those conversations just yet.
All right, we will stay close to that, I promise, and we will continue to go in search of this. But meanwhile, it is time right now, and this relates to it, for our unique perspective.
Ready or not, tell him here I come.
Look at me, handsome, fast, quick, doesn't take much for me to, I'm modest, humble, you know. It doesn't take much for me to be confident.
Dominique, with his unique perspective, what do we have today?
Yeah, so I think that all this unprecedented player movement and players like Deshaun Watson forcing their way out, like, I think it's going to be good for the NFL because I'm American and I believe that market forces make businesses improve their behavior and improve their product. And the NFL is a cartel, and they do not subscribe or be, they're not influenced by those market forces. Can you imagine another organization like the Detroit Lions, who have one playoff win since the merger, and they are worth billions of dollars? So I think what happens in this situation is you have to make yourself a more attractive destination. Once the players become available and can force their way out, if you're doing things poorly, they will force their way out. If you're doing things well, they will force their way to your organization. The offseason will be fun with hope for everyone. And also, the teams, I think, will get smarter, more efficient, and more productive, and it'll be better for everyone. Teams who organizations who don't have hope, fans who don't have hope, will have hope when their organizations get better and when they are able to attract these superstar players, mostly quarterbacks. Greeny, I know you have to agree with me because you are for the players too.
I do, and I primarily agree. I think this has been a problem for the NBA, but the problem the NBA has wouldn't apply in the NFL. The problem in the NBA is when three superstars all decide they're going to go to one place, and it just makes the rest of it ludicrous. It just completely destroys the competitive balance. But we're not living in a world where Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson are all going to go to the same team. That doesn't apply in football. If that was, if there was some equivalent of that in football, I think it would, could potentially really harm the league. But that doesn't exist here. So long as you're just taking one great player from one great team or one team and putting him on another, I think it is actually good. Good for the fans. Brings a lot of interest. I mean, Schefter, you've been telling us all along, there's going to be unprecedented quarterback movement this offseason. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that'll be bad for the league. I think it'll be good for the league.
Listen, your show, Greeny, is set for the next 3-4 months because all there is going to be talking about is the super team in Brooklyn with the NBA and all these quarterbacks every day. And by the way, that hasn't upset the competitive balance of the NBA so far. The Nets basically got taken to overtime last night. They haven't dominated the competition yet. Let's shift to the NBA talk, okay? They're not steamrolling opponents the way that everybody thought they would so quickly. That Harden, Irving, Durant trio. Not yet. Maybe they get there, but they're not there yet, Greeny.
That's fair. Now, the Golden State Warriors a few years ago when they got KD, that was a different situation. But I appreciate your jumping in with the analogy. Quickly, D. Wood, let me come to you. Do you like the idea of players in the National Football League taking a level of control over their destiny that we have never seen in the 100-year history of the sport?
Of course. You're asking a former player. I'm all for player empowerment. I'm all for player movement. I think, like, the league should embrace this, you know, because we're talking about it right now on TV. You know, the league is all about entertainment. It's entertainment. So what more drama could you ask for all year round than having speculation like this when you're talking about all these different quarterbacks who could be possibly moving to different teams, giving other teams, you know, maybe the leg up to be, you know, champions this year? I just think the league should embrace this type of quote-unquote reality TV as far as the quarterback position is concerned.
Now, look, nothing is more popular than fantasy football and daily fantasy, and you pick a different roster every week, and if that stuff is shuffling around in the NFL, that might be fun. All right, Schefter looks busy to me. We will see if he has any news as we continue. Go ahead. Do you have something for me, Schefter?
No, I was just thinking of what D. Wood was saying there, and again, I don't know where there was a shift, but Carson Palmer basically dictated to the Bengals that he was going to be traded during that offseason, right? And then we saw Khalil Mack stop returning the phone calls of John Gruden. Then we saw Jalen Ramsey do whatever he did in Jacksonville. We are now seeing Deshaun Watson basically take a page from the Khalil Mack playbook. And so the door's opening to players recognizing that they have power. And I think that's part of the reason that we brought up the Aaron Rodgers situation, because we don't know how he's going to respond to the situation in Green Bay and to what they tell him during the meetings. We already have seen what's happening with Deshaun Watson. And now the question is, could anything like that happen with Aaron Rodgers? Now, he was quick to minimize it, and maybe it will be nothing. Very possibly. But maybe it won't. So we'll
see. Talk much more about this as we go. But I've been waiting an hour and 43 minutes to say this. The Lakers and the Sixers played the game of the night last night. And LeBron James Lakers was there. And, of course, it was a night of solemn remembrance for many in Philadelphia, including Joel Embiid, who was remembering Kobe and Gigi Bryant with his custom shoes. And there was a moment of silence for Kobe, a Philly native. Now let me take you to the third quarter with the Sixers up five. But this very scary moment, look at Joel Embiid go up and come down hard. Scary to see anyone do that, but worst of all for Embiid, and it is LeBron who makes the contact there. Embiid goes down hard and was in obvious pain. Afterwards, he said this.
You look at it, that's a very dangerous play, and I guarantee you that if it was me, I would have probably been ejected.
Maybe, one way or another. Thankfully, he came back and he was all right. Fourth quarter, pick it up with a little over a minute left. The Lakers are down four. That's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for a three in the corner. Lakers within one. LeBron, by the way, had 34. After a stop, 15 seconds to play. LeBron, Anthony Davis, yes, AD had 23. Lakers a 13-0 run to take the lead with 11 seconds left. Sixers, last shot. Where are you going to go? Tobias Harris, four, three, two, it's good! He knocks it in. 24 points for Harris, 28 for Embiid. The Lakers' first road loss of the season. Sixers take it, 107-106. And we've got great hoops coming your way this weekend. Giannis and the Bucks, Zion and the Pelicans, 7:30 Eastern Friday night, followed by Luka and the Mavs taking on Rudy Gobert and the Jazz. Our NBA Friday coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. We've got much more to do here with so many star quarterbacks potentially available. What should the Cowboys consider with Dak Prescott? We'll answer that question and more next. Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've got a big women's college basketball game tonight with number 4 South Carolina in Starkville to take on number 21 Mississippi State. It tips off at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. And we welcome you back to our studio here at the Seaport of New York. Mike Greenberg with you. Get Up for the next 10 minutes, commercial free. And that is when First Take will take over at the top of the hour, and they will be busy. Did the Sixers prove anything by beating the Lakers last night? And was LeBron's foul on Joel Embiid a dirty play? Stephen A., Max, and Molly will discuss that and much more at the top of the hour. We'll be talking about NFL quarterbacks until then. And let's go to Jared Goff. This completed an underwhelming fourth season under Sean McVay as the Rams defense carried that team through the divisional round of the playoffs. Here's Rams GM Les Snead on Goff's future.
Jared Goff's a Ram in this moment. And I said it's way too early to speculate. The future, that's a beautiful mystery. Moving on from Jared Goff, that's the money we've invested in him. That's not easy to overcome. I mean, anything can be done in a cap-based system.
That's a remarkable thing for him to say. He actually used Aaron Rodgers' phrase, beautiful mystery. But, Shefty, I mean, I've been looking at the numbers. If they want to move on from Jared Goff, how do they do it? The money is, it makes it, I think, almost impossible.
Well, nothing's impossible in the NFL, Greeny. You could figure out a way to do anything. And I don't know how they do it. I'd have to sit down and crunch the numbers on the books. But I do know that they have some very smart people in the Rams front office. Very smart people. There's an organization that was raided this offseason. And if it means sacrifices along the way that you have to make, if you believe that it's worth doing in the best interest of your team, that's what they'll do. But as Les Snead himself said, Jared Goff is their quarterback at this time. And the future is a quote-unquote beautiful mystery. You never heard him say, no, we're not going to consider anything else. He's our guy. He'll be back. We're not looking. You didn't hear any of that. You heard somebody who clearly opened the door on the Rams exploring a quarterback change this offseason.
No question about it. Damian Woody, what do you think?
Jared Goff stinks. I'm sorry. Like, that's what I got out of Les Snead with all of his, you know, trying to use the words. He's just off. And I know that when McVay talks, when he looks at Jared Goff on the field, he just gets nauseated knowing that we got this big contract that we don't even know we can really move it, and I might be stuck with this guy. So, between him and Carson Wentz, man, I'm just baffled how they just gave out that big money for those two guys, and then you got to sit back and watch those two guys just be average out there.
There are any number of similarities between the two. They were the first and second pick in the same draft. Dominique, do you agree with that? It's a harsh assessment. Do you agree with it?
Yeah, I mean, that was harsh, and I'm proud of them for getting that money. Good for them. But I do agree with Adam Schefter that Les Snead is a smart person. And you know, Greeny, whenever smart people talk in the media, I always wonder who they're talking to or what they're trying to accomplish mm-hmm. by saying what they're saying. So I'm not sure what they're trying to accomplish here, but the beautiful mystery thing suggested to me that they're trying to send a message to Aaron Rodgers that we heard what you said last week, and if we can work it out, we'll work it out. And also suggested to me that they want their defense and their team to understand that they know that Jared Goff is not the long-term answer there. And it also suggested to me that they want Jared Goff to hear this, that they've tried every other way to motivate and develop Jared Goff, and now they're at their wits' end, and they're like, we're going to try to embarrass you into getting better. So Les Snead is not a fool. They didn't trick Les Snead into being suddenly honest in that moment. Les Snead knew what he was doing, and we read the sound yesterday. Today, we actually listened to it. It's so much more painful if you listen to the whole thing. They say, is Jared Goff going to be with the Rams? And he looks at his calendar, and he says, I don't know. What's today? Well, he's a Ram today. Like, that is so insulting, and none of that was a mistake. They didn't shock Les Snead with that question. He purposely did that to communicate several things to several people. So if I'm Jared Goff, I've been put on notice by them. If he hasn't already, he knows that his time is almost up.
Okay, I would love to follow up on that, but I'm being told Shefty may have breaking news. Shefty, what do you have for us?
Deshaun Watson officially has requested a trade from the Houston Texans, Greeny. As it turns out, he did this days ago. So it is official now. Deshaun Watson will want out of Houston. The head coaching hire of David Culley makes no difference. It does not change his feelings one bit. Deshaun Watson has requested a trade from the Houston Texans. This now vaults to the top of the offseason storylines. We will wait to see where Deshaun Watson goes this offseason. But now we see how the Houston Texans handle a situation. Houston, you have a problem. Officially, he has requested the trade.
So well done. The best in the business. I could tell this entire hour you had something. You were on the phone. I could feel it. And here it is. So Nick and David will obviously keep it here. So give me the mechanics on this, Shefty. How does that work? The once he officially is there an official designation to that? I mean, once he has officially requested a trade, now what happens?
No, Greeny, again, listen, we have laid this all out. We have spelled this out in the previous weeks. We've said this was coming. We said this was happening, and it has happened. And actually, it happened weeks ago as we were talking about it. It's just now that we're finding out about it and have been able to confirm that the official request has come in. Additionally, he has not spoken to Deshaun Watson, to the new general manager, Nick Caserio, who got the job over 2 or 3 weeks ago. He has not spoken to Jack Easterby. He has not had phone conversations with members of that organization. So when we talk about the NBA of the NFL or the NFL of the NBA and players yielding their power, here we go. You see the muscle flex from Deshaun Watson there? It's time to flex. Now, the Houston Texans, again, will say that they don't want to trade Deshaun Watson. They're not interested in trading Deshaun Watson. But if Deshaun Watson is as dug in as we think he is, then they will trade Deshaun Watson. And he's got that no trade. So I don't think that Deshaun Watson can essentially dictate where he's going entirely, but he's going to have some influence here. If they want to trade him to a place he doesn't want to go, he can always say no. But I think he's going to be flexible and understanding, because the fact of the matter is he wants out of Houston, period, whatever that takes.
So Shefty, what do we know, if anything, and if the answer is we don't know anything, that's fine, obviously. What do we know about where he is interested in going? If he has a list, do we know of any teams that are on it?
Yeah, let me start that list by saying he wants out of Houston. I think that's it first and foremost.
Right.
And then if he's going to have his choice, I'm sure there are a lot of teams. Look, Chris Mortensen was the very first person to link Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins. He was the first person to put that out there. Now, I'm not telling you that that's where he'll be, but I would be comfortable in saying that that, I'm sure, is a place that would appeal to Deshaun Watson. But we can go through the list here right now, Greeny. And again, we've told you the quarterback carousel is going to spin. So here it comes, right? How about New Orleans? How about Dallas? How about Denver? How about Chicago? How about Detroit? How about Washington? How about the Jets? How about any one of these teams? You tell me where he's going, and that carousel will keep spinning on and on, around and around. Again, I want to be very clear. He wants out of Houston. He's made that very clear. And the fact that they've now hired a head coach with the idea that hopefully he can convince Deshaun Watson to stay, breaking news, not going to happen. He wants out. We'll see what they do with that. But the official trade request has come in.
Phenomenal. Okay, so again, David Culley was hired as for those just joining us, who was hired as their coach last night. Welcome to Houston. This is what you are inheriting. Very quickly, Dominique, I mean, I'm thinking if I'm forced to trade him, I'm certainly not trading him in the division. My choice, if I could, would be to trade him to the NFC. So, you know, he doesn't knock me off on the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, you don't want to trade him no matter what. But yeah, those are the things that would be in my head. What do you think, Neek?
I understand not wanting to trade him in the division because then you have to lose to him twice a year. I understand not wanting to trade him in a conference because then he may beat you in the playoffs. But when it's a player of this caliber, there's nowhere you can trade him that you can feel good because there is a chance that he is going to win league MVPs. There's a chance that he's going to be playing in championship games and Super Bowls. So at no point is Houston ever going to feel good about this until they get someone as good or better than Deshaun Watson. And those ain't growing on trees. So back to the original point, I understand that Houston doesn't want to trade him and shouldn't want to trade him. But to me, that feels like you're getting fired. And if you didn't want to get fired, you probably should have done your job somewhere along the way. You should have showed up on time and finished your projects where you're supposed to. So now they have to move on from him. They have to trade him. It's a lost cause.
Let me get 10 seconds for D. Wood. Go ahead, D. Wood. I got 10 seconds left. Go.
Listen, you got to somehow replenish your roster. Remember all the draft picks you gave up. You got a superstar as an asset. You got to replenish that.
They'll have the chance to do it. They don't have a one or a two this year. They traded those to Miami. We'll see what they do. Again, Shefty with the breaking news. We'll cover it all day long. First Take is next.